Welcome back to a weekly manga podcast book club series where we deep dive and explore the weekly shonen magazine series Gachi Akuta by Kei Urana. My name is Bruce. I am the proprietor of the White Gray Black YouTube channel and am joined, of course, by my constant co-host Gautam.
Hello, hello.
This week we are covering volume 12 of the series, which is chapters 95 to 103. Let's start with some quick thoughts on the volumes. I'll lead on this one. Another good volume of Gachi Akuta. I liked it. I thought it was a pretty fast kind of high octane one. I thought it had some good stuff in it. I'm continually impressed how even in the action heavy volumes, I'm still being pulled through by mysteries and lore and world building. I think that's excellent. I think the series continues to get deeper and bigger, and I like it a lot. So good volume.
Yeah, that was all gas, no brakes. It was just high octane and fun the whole time.
Yeah, it was great. Cool. Let's go ahead and just jump into talking about the chapters then here.
Sure.
So first up, we have chapter 95 called Hi There. We get a little bit of lore here in that Kuro, the information broker, he says he's not a giver.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Which he's kind just of, a wild dude.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I guess makes sense. You can't, you know, if everybody you meet you assume is a giver, that's less interesting than wondering if people are or if they just have other abilities. So I still wonder how he has all his information then, because he seems
to... I think he's just really good at his job.
Yeah, but, I mean, he, like, knows things we find out later about the Raiders and stuff, where it's like, how do you know that? Like, I don't know. It's, I don't know if we'll ever know. Maybe we will. I'm not sure. But it seems like there's something else going on, because he has a lot of information that seemed hard to get by a human. So
yeah, I think he's just like insanely well connected, and I have a feeling we won't get really more information in regards to like how he gets his like information.
Yeah,
I think he's just like a question mark information broker that just is kind of like. Is the word omnipresent or
omniscient? Well, is the one which omniscient, is all-knowing. Yeah,
yeah. It's funny I didn't know that, considering how much I love omniscient reader viewpoints. But
I know that because I was raised in the church. So yeah, but the battle continues here. The action is awesome. Ryo is cool. All of her action stuff I find really different. Like seeing this, we're going to see this animated here in a couple of months by Bones, and I think it's going to be sick, because from my recollection, Ryo only uses her scissors with her legs and feet. I don't think she's ever used her hands to use her scissors.
Yeah, her hands are for guns.
Well, I mean...
It's not even a joke. I think her hands are like tools of assassination, and...
Yeah, yeah.
So she uses her scissors...
I think it is. Yeah, I mean, I think it's that. I think it's more like if she used the scissors with her hands, she would be so deadly. So she's like holding herself back by using it with only her feet. Because if she used it with her hands, she'd kill people. Right. I think that to me, that's kind of the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah, I think her hands are for killing people or for hairdressing. I think it's those two things. And it's like how Sanji fights with his feet as well. Right?
Yeah, that actually might. Yeah, this might actually literally be Sanji, where she's like using scissors with hands is to cut hair, but scissors with legs is to kill people and cut trash beasts. That it might be that. That actually sounds better to me. So I like that. Kuro here calls out kind of the their kind of formation, I guess you could say. Engine up front, Ryo take the wings, and Ruto in the back, kind of using a borrowed. I guess this is like a. It's a paintbrush, I guess, with some old paint in it that he got from Remlin.
Like a used up paintbrush.
One that's like, if you've ever painted before, the bristles, after you paint a certain amount of time and like wet and dry, the bristles will fray and will get messed up. And it's not unusable, but it does not make the best painting. So
I think it's just that it ran out of ink. It's like one of these things that are filled with ink and it like fills like the end of the tip of the brush with ink.
It is definitely that, because he mentions it later on. But he drops these little dots on the ground, which he then turns into giant spikes, which is really cool. Also, this is just a great spread of Ruto.
It is fucking sick. I love Ruto's use of, like, random shit.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. But someone mentions here that's like, I think everyone kind of calls out, they're like, Rudo, like, not to mention he can use anything as a vital instrument, he also is, like, immediately very good at it, which is
cool. Yeah, because it's not like the vital instrument has, like, a specific function in Rudo's hands. It's like, as we see in this chapter, it's based on what he wants it to do.
Yeah.
So he's, like, kind of leading how it behaves. There was a panel before this where Ryo was, like, fighting the trash beast, and we don't have it in here, but she goes, pss, 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 you know,
yeah,
like, how you do for kitties.
I saw that one. I almost had it in because I was like, man, that's really funny, but I had to cut out some because you don't want to put the whole chapter in the video. But yeah, I noticed that too. I thought that was funny. She's like, like calling the cats. But yeah, Rudo uses this thing here. Yeah, this is follow here is like, yeah, this isn't the first time I noticed, but it's not fair how easy it is for Rudo to use those super strong powers. It's like, Chris is like, follow, concentrate. Rudo calls out again here. He's like, I think that when I use a hand-me-down from someone, I can draw out even more power from it, which is interesting in that this is really only the second time we've seen him do this. The first time was with Gris's like protection necklace or whatever when they were fighting Jabber back in like volume 3 and 4, which he's pulled out like a lot of power from that. And again, he's pulling out a lot of power from this. So I wonder if there will I'm going to call that this is foreshadowing for years in the future in the end game when cleaners are dying, a cleaner will die and give him their vital instrument and he will be able to pull out some extreme extra power at like,
yeah,
no guess on who it could be, but yeah,
the hand-me-downs he's used aren't vital instruments, they're just well-loved items.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably if he uses like a vital instrument which has a ton of soul already poured into it,
yeah,
it will be like obscene.
Like maybe I'll do an alley-oop call. I'm gonna call end game. So the current today's date is October 13th, 2024. I think Engine is going to die, and he's going to give Rudo his umbrella, and Rudo is going to be able to do some giant umbrella thing with it. That's my guess for years in the future.
Oh, that's a better guess than what I have.
What did you have?
He's gonna get Tamsi's rope trick.
Oh, okay.
Rope trick staff.
Thing. That would be cool. I could see that too. It could be anybody. There's nobody who I feel like is throwing death flags. I don't think there's a whole lot of death flags in the series yet, so who knows? But dated, time stamped in case it does happen, and then I can say, look, I called this years ago. So cool. This is the second time Engine's done this in like 2 or 3 chapters, where I think Ryo's just like, hey, at this rate, we should totally be able to catch an information broker before we get to No Man's Land. And he's like, shut up, if you talk like that, you'll jinx us.
This is the least this is the most shook Engine has been, and like the least he's kept his cool.
Yeah.
I love it. Anything related to the info broker, Engine is just expecting things to go wrong.
Yeah. He didn't flip out this much, but he did also have a little bit of an outburst when I think what someone called out last volume in the last volume was like, oh good, we weren't going to No Man's Land, so we shouldn't run into any trash beasts. And he was like, don't say that, like you'll jinx it. But yeah, Fu are kind of core character of this volume, I would say, here playing this little thing. He's like, I didn't realize, I thought he was just making a noise here where he's like,
oh, I thought he was too,
because he used this word he used last volume or maybe 2 volumes ago. He definitely like talked to the pup, to the doll yeah, and called it he, and I was like, oh, he's just making a little like a noise, right?
I thought it was just like a nervous tick or something like that.
Yeah, we read too much One Piece to think like, oh, it's a weird word, that's just their laugh, like because
so exactly.
So this series of panels I really liked because this is
so funny. This is funny.
Yes, it's one of those things where like it's so great, and I can't wait for it to be animated, because if you're one of those clip things where it's just like, this is so, because it's literally just like,
this is the 50 Cent meme, you know, where he like pulls up next to him.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's just like literally just like an on-ramp, and they pull up beside him and he looks over and it's fucking, and it's Zonal looking at him.
It's his boss. Yeah,
his old boss. Yeah. God, and Zonal is so, man, I like him a lot. I think he's a great bad guy. And the fact that he's just like, it isn't like he turns to look, it's like he drives by and Zonal is like already looking at Fu.
yeah, just like staring him down.
Yeah, it's great. I really like this panel too. It's just, it's cool. I don't know, the cleaners are driving like a Jeep, which is like very practical and like off-road muddy type thing, and the Raiders are driving like an old-timey like Chrysler, like a, you know, 1940s yeah. kind of like old mobster car. It's cool. I don't know.
Perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah. It's just a very, and it's just a very cool spread too. Something, layout wise, kind of visual layout wise, something people may not have noticed is, it seems pretty obvious to say like, yeah, like you read a panel from the top to the bottom. That's obvious, but it helps. There is a gradient on this page, right? The very top of the page is completely white, and the road, a lot of artists wouldn't do this, right? They would just draw the road and the two cars would be there and they'd all be kind of the same, value. And that is, you know, okay. I think it's cooler here that she does the kind of white up top, the gradient down to the darker low, because it just, I don't know, it just pulls your eyes down easier from the top to the bottom of the page. And it's just really cool. There's so many little design decisions made in pages and panels and art and stuff. Like Kay Arana is like a master. Like,
yeah, she's great.
That's awesome.
And goddamn, Jabber, I think they have like a healer because Jabber recovers quick.
Yeah, by the time we get five or so more chapters in, I feel like they have to have a healer, but
yeah,
we'll see. Yeah, I like this because Fu is like Fu and Zotal, it's such a funny, like extremely pushy bad guy boss versus like the most subordinate, make no decisions, scared boy ever.
Yeah. and okay. So Zotal intentionally ditched Fu to teach him autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
And he says like, okay, but he ran his mouth off just for self-defense purposes, useless. And it was actually even worse than that because there was no self-defense involved. He just volunteered all of the info on the Raiders.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just there.
Yeah. That's funny.
I like, this is one of those things that I, again, like to see this line voiced by Zotal, like I can imagine, you know, like some really deep voice, like, you know, like one of the JoJo voice actors or something being like, what is this, Fu, my friend? Like, don't tell me you jumped ship.
That might be Jabber, though.
But yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that's 95. One thing I wanted to point out about this first chapter, something I really like about the series is that, and it's present in this chapter, is every time I think like, oh, I know how this is going to go, you know, they'll almost catch up to him, and then something will start at the end of the chase. I like that the confrontation with the Raiders is pulled forward. Like, this is the like second chapter of the chase. Like, they're only part of the way into like an arc, a setting, a encounter, and Kay Arana is like overlapping what the next encounter is going to be into this one. I think it's cool and it's complex, and it the momentum of it works way better this way. Because if it was like, we do the whole chase and the chase is over, and then the Raiders show up and we do the Raiders and the Raiders is over, and we get to the jungle and do the jungle and then the jungle's over. That's, you know, one thing leads to the next thing leads to the next thing, and that's okay. I think it's cooler to pull them up and overlap them like this. Like, it just, to me, it just works and flows a lot better.
I like this too. It's like, it's this chaos in a One Piece kind of way where things just spiral into each other.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of like Shokugeki no Soma, where like Soma's rivals like, till we meet again.
Yeah,
and he has like that cool line. And then the next panel is just sitting next to each other on the bus because they have to take the same bus.
Oh, yeah.
And he's
yeah,
all sheepish about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the Raiders just left their last arc and now they're here again.
Yeah, which I think is good. Great. I mean, it's like, because yeah, a lot of things would be like, okay, we did the Raiders, they're going to be gone and doing nothing. It's like, nope, the Raiders are still here. They're still the bad guys. They're still present. So I like it. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, 96 now. This starts with Jabber like taking a deep breath and like telling him to put his mask on. Like, dude, we're in the trash town. It's like everybody knows that deep breathing is a part of warming up. Another just like great spread panel. Like, it's all so good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is all really great. Engine like is like, the Raiders are here. He's like, Fu, like I knew that you were gonna betray us. He's like, you knew too, didn't you, Fu? He's like, no, I didn't know.
He's looking to his legs. Yeah, instead of just turning around like a normal person, Engine has to be extra and look underneath his own legs.
It's so good. Like, yeah, there's so much like little character flair things in the series. It's so great.
I think Engine may be the only person who can make that pose and intimidate someone at the same time.
This reminded me. the Batman. Do you remember there's a scene in the Batman where he like crashes Penguin's car and walks up to him and the camera's like, I can't remember if the camera's upside down or if like Batman just like walks up and like leans down in the most awkward way to look at the Penguin. I remember laughing out loud in the theater at that because it's like it's supposed to be really serious and it's like a little
very bizarre. Yeah, it was, that was a bizarre scene because it was like very cool before that.
Yeah, he does this like weird, awkward, like lean down thing.
Like, yeah, a little crouch.
Yeah, it's also funny because Fu just like spouts out the information again and Zotal's just like, I'm watching you do this. Like,
I see.
This is, the facial expression's always good. I thought cutting you off would force you to learn some autonomy, but it looks like all you learned was how to run your mouth off in self-defense. I also like that, like...
Yeah, it's so funny.
There's, like, no emotion in Zotal ever. Like, he has the same facial expression for, like, a chapter and a half here. He's just looking at Fu. Like, I actually
somehow
think...
Yeah. Disappointed dad energy is, like, radiating from Zotal in these panels.
Yeah.
I like that it's also in, like, the colors are reversed, so you see, like, he just sounds... so disappointed in
the like dark negative the text bubbles you're talking about.
That's so funny.
It's also interesting when I was reading this and taking notes, I wrote like, oh, the girl, like the new girl is driving. I was like, I wonder if she's gonna be like a foil to Gris, because Gris is kind of like our driver canonically here. Rio, this, okay, Jabber shows up. All the Jabber fights are like the best fights. I love this because he, again, there's no delay. Like every time you think like, ah, I know this is going to happen, Jabber will jump up and he'll do his monologue. Like, I'm here, cleaners, you know, show me what you're made of. But he lands and he goes, I'm here. Tee-hee-hee. And Rio immediately clocks him and is like, well, don't be like, get off.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's just like, there's no delay. It just moves. And it's great.
Jabber does get like, the author loves Jabber. That's clear.
For sure.
I like how much he gets, like, he's destructive as hell, but I love how much he gets fucked up all the time.
Yeah, he's the best, like, probably the best fighter in the Raiders, like, maybe other than Zotal, but yeah, he pretty continually kind of, like, wins and then loses. Like, he basically wins and captures them the first time, and then... Engine shows up and is like, drop him or I'm gonna murk you. And the second time he wins.
I don't think Engine's ever fought him.
No, but all the cleaners were there and they threatened him. They were like, drop Rudo. Yeah, yeah. They were like, drop Rudo and Zanka and leave. And he did. He escaped with the portal.
The portal.
Yeah. And then he like beats Zanka and Rio shoots him. So it's like he wins, but he loses. This time
he literally asked for the pain. So I think it's a win-win for him either
That's
way.
True. That's true. It's like, you're the Bang Bang girl with the braids from last time, aren't you? This part for me, I loved because she's like, no, that's a hairstyle called fishbone. He's like, that's not the important point here.
Engine is not amused by their banter.
Yeah. I like this because it's like, we haven't gotten a whole lot of Rio and why her vital instrument is haircutting scissors, but this confirms it to me that like, there's obviously some kind of history with like, her and hairstyling her hair here, because she also picked up which makes sort of the fight with Duarte even more interesting looking back, because she was also kind of a hair focused fighter. So
yeah,
what you did to me there's like, I'm sorry, I did it for my friends, I'm sorry I shot you. He's like, no, he's like, I want you to do it again. I like that this like throws Rio off, like they're fighting and he's like, I want you to shoot me again. She's like, what?
Like, hurt me more, snake.
We get a little bit, so here we get introduced to the driver, the girl with the headphones who we met last volume. Her name is Momoa. She looks pretty cool. She kind of catches up here, and they say like, okay, if Momoa touches you, she hears all of your memories, which I assume obviously is a like hears him through the headset, I would assume. I think we were right in that headset's probably her vital instrument. So
yeah, I presumably, and I think it probably also doubles as like something that blocks the sound, like the noise of everything else out, because of like a lot of these like memory reading, thought reading powers are like in fiction are something so loud that it bothers whoever has the power. And they just don't want to hear people anymore. So I think it probably doubles as like a safety blanket
oh,
from the
yeah.
rest of the world.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I wonder, because she's kind of, I don't remember if it was here earlier, but I feel like someone comments that she's like not really a combatant raider.
Yeah, it's the info broker in a few pages. He mentions that. She's a non-combatant, but her power is so useful, right? Like, she can just instantly get info.
The ultimate interrogator. I gotta say, thank God, bless, we have a normal name. They have a fairly normal name in Gachi Akuta.
Momoa is,
I know how to say that. There have been other characters and people with that name. It's great. And she has a pretty normal last name, too, we learn. In Chapter 97, here we go. There's a nice cute picture of Momoa here. I like the info broker. He's competent. I think that's cool. Is it like he's smart, but he also is like, oh, like you're just going to touch me. He's like, don't tell me you're trying to cheat. He says that her name is, okay, I don't think I grabbed it, but her name is Momoa Rukul. And I said, phew, a normal name.
And I didn't notice this the first time, but he looks like a little vampire, like with his like elf ears.
I actually didn't notice his elf ears until you said that. Yeah.
Yeah.
He definitely does have different ears. I wonder.
Yeah. It's interesting. That.
Okay. My mind's racing now. I'm like, oh, yeah. Are there elves in Gachi Akuta? What the hell?
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. He looks like, God, this reminds me of something and I can't remember what. I've seen something that is almost exactly like this. It kind of like, Psycho Mantis.
It's like a little bit like the Psycho Mantis thing. Actually, not the ears, exactly but. Like Psycho Mantis.
Yeah, it's like the exact same kind
had
of...
Had a few too many calorie mates, but yeah.
Yeah, the this is like, I think, a Russian or Russian-style gas mask, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is kind of a little bit... They have kind of a exposition, I know what your plan is, I'm not telling you my plan, off between Zodal and Crow here. It's like, you're learning the cleaners into no man's land. Like, what will you do when you get there? It's like, you surely of all people are aware that it's not nice to pry. and they kind of, he says something here about how, like, Rudo's the only one who's supposed to catch me, which makes me think that Kuro, maybe he just knows enough to know, like, I mean, we know that he doesn't have a vital instrument, but he seems to, like, know the future in some way. Like,
well, he knows what he, as we see at the end of this volume, we know what he's after and why Rudo is kind of needed.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
So I think that's why he says that, because he needs Rudo at the end there.
I think part of it also, I had this theory like while I was reading, so kind of regardless of the end of the volume, which is, yeah, it definitely has a thing in there. I was thinking that he chose this path and kind of to have him chase him in that, and to have the raiders run in. Like, I think he knew all of that to, I think that this will somehow lead to all the answer to all of Rudo's questions. Like, Rudo only had one question he was going to ask, or that he asked, and that he was going to get that information and kind of try to figure everything else out. Something tells me that maybe, the info broker chose this path because they would, you know, run in or something would happen that would answer more of his questions, which I think the box at the end of the volume means that, yeah, maybe that does answer more of the questions about the past or his heritage or something. So
I think it's more so because the raiders add that distraction to bait the monster so he can get the box. Because if it was just the cleaners, then they wouldn't rouse the monster and he wouldn't be able to get the box.
Yeah, true. Yeah. I also think at this time when I was reading, I thought the information broker was more benevolent than I think he turns out to be by the end of the volume. So I was thinking like, oh, he's trying to help them. He's doing good stuff. He's going to tell Rudo all the things he needs to know. I don't think it ends up like that. So
yeah, he's self-motivated as hell.
Definitely by the end of the volume, we see that. So yeah, back to Jabber and Ryo here. A nice, good panel here. Cool action. Always good. I don't know. This is like... The action stuff in here is always awesome. They do this spinning move on top and Engine like freaks out and is like, where did I put it? He's like, stop spinning on top of the car. And where's Rudo?
This is like in World of Warcraft, two warriors just like doing PvP just whirlwinding on the top of the car.
Yeah. I like that. Like, he's like, Rudo, you better not have fallen off. And we get like upside down Rudo. Rudo does not appear in this chapter except for his feet in this one panel, which I think is funny.
So the funny thing is I didn't even notice the legs and that he had fallen off. I thought he was like still on the car.
But that's funny, yeah, yeah.
It's, that's great.
It's funny also too that they're like they're spinning. I didn't get the page, but Engine is like ducking under Rio's and it's like, stop spinning on the car. It's like we're fighting on top of the tiny car. It's also really cool. Another cool artistic thing, I'm just going to point out all of them, is that the top of the car is small. Like, not it's not a large area, but
yeah, it's just a Jeep.
Yeah, but because it's like a battlefield, Kei Arana like uses the art to just like make it as big as it needs to be, and it doesn't feel like, oh, the size is constantly changing. It just feels like a style thing where it's like, okay, it's longer here because I need, you know, I need Jabber to be farther away and coming at her. And then like when we get to, it's like, this looks enormous. Like the top of the car is like 6 feet by 4 feet. Like it's not that big. But visually it's cool.
It's a style thing where she's saying, just go with it.
Yeah, exactly. It's just stylistic and cool. Like even here, like this is like six times as big as the top of a car should be. But yeah, anyways, very cool. This is kind of I like this moment a lot here where it's like
who's being relied on.
Yeah, it's like I really wrote like food time, baby. They're like, hey, Chris here is like we're low on hands. We lost Rudo. It's like food. Like if you're here to help us out.
And now we see why he was paired off with Engine in the first place. Trash Beast arc.
Yeah, we do, because we're about to see some wild shit go down. We see an arm punch through the top of the car, which again is sort of like made in a wild size, and he pulls himself up and he says, now that we've been asked, we have to step up, right? He's like, right, it's finally my turn. No holding back. I'm gonna give him hell. I like it literally says like it's a he time, like which is just like a goofy, like I don't know, like one of those generic things to say that's also funny, but
it's I think Morbius ruined that, right? It's whatever time.
It's Morbin time. But man, he looks wild. And here I took a little notes, like, okay, it's obviously like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing, where it's like one of them, you know, it's a dual personality, one of them's in the thing, comes out. But yeah, it's I don't know, this he's wild. So
And it doesn't seem like he is evil, like I thought he was. He is just the ambitious, action-taking side of Fu's personality.
Yeah, because he still does, as we'll see in the next chapter, he still does fight for them. So so this is chapter 98. There's like a little kind of lead-in conversation here where it's like where Fu is talking. He's like, I never want to take responsibility. That's why I live my life only according to someone else's orders. Like that way the responsibility belongs to someone else and I don't get hurt. This is a real thing. This is a real thing for a lot of people. A lot of people have decision paralysis, or they are extremely content being sort of subservient to a fault, maybe, like in just letting someone else choose, because it that way nothing's their fault, right? Someone else chose it for you. Doesn't matter.
The ramifications of their actions aren't like they're just like kind of substituting someone else's like decision making, so they don't have to take accountability for whatever their actions cause. So we probably get some Fu backstory later on that reveals why he's feeling this way.
Yeah, right? Potentially. I'm still. Yeah,
but you see a parallel with Rudo later on where he's like, I know this is my fault, but we're gonna take action right now.
He takes responsibility for I made a decision and it's on me, so but I like that we get, you know, it's cool to look at the kind of like the way the doll looks and the way that he looks, and I think it's cool. I don't know, it's like, again, it's just like good design. It's like, does look like Fu, but like his jacket is blown open. He doesn't have the little neck thing around his mouth. It's like blown open. His eyes are wild. He has a little like mask around.
You think he paints his face, right, to look like the doll?
I'd assume it's just Vital Instrument Magic would be what I would say.
Okay. Because
I guess he always does have the thing around his eyes.
Yeah, he has the things around his eyes.
He's like, didn't even notice it because it's like much less, much less in your face than here. But yeah, the curse, he like calls himself the cursed doll. And they enter into this, this tunnel here. It's like, when Fu doesn't have anyone to order him around, and when he's going to bust something up, his body becomes my body. So I don't, is this, Is this split personality, or is the doll something created kind of separate to do? I mean, I guess it's still kind of a split personality, but I don't know.
I think the doll does. It's not like a vital instrument has its own personality. I think the doll just like gives him this strength and speed and all that stuff, or this combat prowess. I think the split personality is from trauma.
Oh, okay. So you think that his vital instrument like makes him powerful, but the split personality thing is like kind of separate from the vital instrument?
Yeah.
Like he thinks it's from the vital instrument, but it's not really like in reality.
I'm pretty sure that's the case, because
I can definitely see that.
Just based on his decision paralysis, I think he's been traumatized by something.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, they note that like, oh, that guy Fu just tore open the roof. This was a cool thing where Zotal sends where we go. Like Portal Girl's power doesn't if Katonia, it's light out.
Is that her name?
Her name is, it went somewhere and I don't remember. I thought I had it.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, no big deal, but yeah, but her powers basically are
Use her portals in the dark, but not like she can use her portal gun in the darkness and shadows, but she can't use it in like illuminated areas.
Yeah, they talk about it later where it's like in the light they can use it to get to like other things that are portals, like manhole covers and stuff, but in the dark it's basically like everything is covered, so everything is like a covered area that they can go to, which is like,
yeah,
it's like a cool like limiter, which I think is neat. And we do see that even back when they rescued Jabber originally, they came out of like an actual manhole cover to grab him during the day. So it's like, okay, right, that's consistent, like all the way back. And then when they were used during the Trash Beast fight, everything was dark in there, so it was like fully usable. So
exactly.
Yeah, so very cool. This part was wild to me because I was like, oh,
I love
yeah.
this. Yeah.
I was like, oh yeah, he'll probably win. This is what'll happen. But like, Jabber attacks him and he like breaks his arm, like turns it into dust. Like, this is insane arm break.
Yeah, it was fucking metal as hell. Yeah. Jabber's attack didn't even get to connect because Fu just like punches his arm right as he was attacking.
Yeah,
and snaps it instantly.
His face is also great. The facial expression is probably, like, my arm's broken. Like, his very flesh is a vital instrument. See, this is interesting because it makes me wonder if the doll is the vital instrument, or if this is implying that like something else, his flesh is a vital instrument and the doll is like his weird split personality thing, like we talked about a little bit last.
I think his doll is the vital instrument. I think his split personality is just something he assigned to it.
Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Also, this is wild. He braces down to like attack. It like shoots off like a gun from the top of the car. Like,
yeah,
it's wild how fast.
So,
quick
so we were talking about the strongest fighter in the Raiders. I think that definitely goes to Fu.
I think now, yeah.
Yeah. We don't know what Zotal's capable of, so we can put a TBD there, but I think it is just Fu. He one-shots Jabber in this fight.
So basically, yeah, he breaks his arm, like shoves him against the ceiling, like knocks him out, like he's like, cheers to treachery.
Cheers to treachery.
This is in my opinion, like just from a sort of plotting writing standpoint, this is an excellent way to show how strong Fu is, because we know exactly how strong Jabber is because we saw him in the first fight. We saw what it took to take him down. We saw him against Zanka and Ryo shooting him. We know that it's like, okay, he pretty much beats like almost everybody unless you kind of cheat and get ahead of him. He and Ryo were kind of not pushing each other back. They were, you know, pretty evenly matched in a very kind of short fight. And then Fu/he just like, yeah, just literally one shots the dude. Like he's much stronger than Jabber that it takes no time for him to just annihilate the guy.
This is like good content because you're right. We know most about Jabber's fighting, like more than anyone else in this series. We've seen Jabber in the most like serious fights.
Yeah.
Like I think he's had three this series. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah.
This is a cool moment. I love how positive he is about.
Yeah.
Jabber is just so likable.
I like Jabber. He's fun. He's such a fun, weird, bad guy. Yeah, and Jabber says, like, I always knew you were hella tough. Because he, like, Jabber, like, challenged him earlier, kind of when Fu was talking, I think last volume. Fu was like, oh, yeah, I challenge, you know, we get, like, a little flashback, and he's like, oh, yeah, like, you should fight me. And Fu's like, no, I don't want to, like, nobody told me to.
Yeah.
But, yeah, let me check my notes real quick. Do-do-do, Crystal, he... Yeah, I'm wondering, we don't see, I think, in this one too much, if maybe transforming has, like, a negative side effect on his body, or my guess is that he has some kind of negative side effect on his mental. Like, he doesn't, he just is like apologizes and like doesn't like being but maybe not. I don't know. We maybe get more of that later.
I think he's fine being he, but I think he just doesn't like consequences to whatever he does.
Yeah.
I think when he's his biggest roadblock is his own brain.
Yeah, for sure.
And his anxieties and his problems. Yeah.
Yeah, dude has personality problems. Cool. Chapter 99 here. He lands very daintily. I like, God, Ryo's great also. It's like he kicked Jabber in the trash piece button 2 seconds flat. It's like, if I had to fight him, how would I beat him?
I don't think you would, Ryo.
Yeah, but it's fun because this shows that she's like, I think with her like assassin kind of backstory and her combat, and like when she fights Nuerde, right, like they both like put away their weapons and go hand to hand. Like I think she's very like fight centered. Like she wants to fight people. Like she's aggressive in a way that like she likes to, she's like Jabber likes.
She's all
like,
about
she likes to fight. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see that a little later in this volume too, where she's doing like some fight analysis, but yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah. Some fight analysis in that she messed up. Jabber again, being great. He's like, pure strength, my favorite thing in the whole wide world. I'm curious about this line, what you think about it. He says, but the one strength that really has us at its mercy doesn't even fit the concept of strength. What do you think this is about? Because I think this is an interesting line.
I think it is the portal girl who has no combat capabilities, but it's able to use her like support power to completely shift the field of battle. I think that's what Jabber's mentioning, because he's looking through a portal he made with his fingers, right? And
I wonder,
see her in the next panel.
Okay. Yeah, I wonder if this is sort of double entendre then, because I think that you're right. I think that applies like very directly to what is about to happen with Portal Girl. I read this as like the Watchmen. Like he's talking about the Watchmen keeping them on the ground away from the sphere. Right. That's everyone is at the mercy of that. They can't cross and go up. But that doesn't like what
I would see. I could see that if it wasn't Jabber saying it.
I don't know. I think Jabber, Jabber is a part of the Raiders, so you assume he still has the same kind of drives,
even,
but I don't know.
I don't think he even thinks about that stuff. I think he's just part of the Raiders because he wants to fight people.
Yeah. Her name is Thony.
Okay.
It was like right at the bottom of this page. The portal girl is Thony, yeah.
Yeah.
So she, this is a cool, like, she's at the end of the tunnel setting stuff up. Yeah, so Thony, I know all about her. Her vital instrument is a manhole cover with the light ability. In bright places, she can only warp to pipes, manholes, etc. In places that she has already been to or passed by. But in the dark, she can go anywhere. She can put her powers on full display. Darkness is a power spot, isn't it? And it's cool because I was thinking like, oh, cool. So all the darkness will let her, you know, do whatever. But basically she like turns the entire end of this like road tunnel into a giant portal and lets through all of the trash beast cheetahs, which I thought was really cool.
And it's like a flood of cheetahs.
Yeah. Because yeah, they just, it's awesome. I also love like
Engine is pissed.
And Ryo's just like,
yeah.
It's the facial expressions in this are so great. Just like, give me a freaking break. And we get like a cool shot of Thony here, and also like Rudo charging in right
Cheetah
in
the Rider beast. Rudo. Yeah,
which is awesome. And Thony like notices him going through. I don't know, it's just cool. This is a great two-page spread. Also, we haven't like seen that much of Thony, but like she like is a very simple design but very cool. The like tattoos around her ankles. I think those are tattoos.
I
would assume.
I see. Yeah.
Like almost everybody has some kind of tattoos in this. So yeah, she's like in this weird, like lithe, like thin, muscular kind of build, and very serious face. But yeah,
I can't tell if she is like a kid or an adult.
Yeah, everyone I think is sort of in the like shonen well, we range know, here. Except for like Engine. Except for like Engine and Zotal and
Ryo's an adult. Like they're all like I think Ryo's everybody like, but the child squad are all kids.
No, I think Ryo's like 16 or 17, awesome. Maybe. Or like she's close to Ryo's.
I don't know. I think she's like 20s. I think everyone in the child squad is kids, are kids, but everyone else are like all adults.
Oh yeah. I don't know. Yeah, someone left a comment on one of these that had there, so there's bonus content in the bonus content on the volumes, and yeah, here we go. Here's the ages, I think, from volume extra. So Rudo's 15, Engine's 28, Zanka's 17, Ryo's 16. Yeah. So Rudo 15, Ryo's 16, Zanka's 17. So they're all sort of
That is surprising. Because then they're not that, like, Rudo's not the kid of the group that I thought he was. He's like a year apart from Ryo.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Do you want to? Okay. This is going to be fun. Take a guess on how old Jabber and Thony are, because both of these are going to blow your mind.
Jabber is 28. Thony is. It's so hard. 20.
Okay. If you reverse those, you would be closer.
Thony is like 28 and Jabber is like a 20-year-old?
Jabber is 18 and Thony is 27.
Okay.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know. Sure, whatever.
I find manga ages to be like very baffling.
Very strange, yeah.
Because like I don't think a 16-year-old has like the aptitude to do any of this. But
yeah, but it's fun. Everyone has an awful to pronounce name and an age that feels not correct. Although Rudo's age is about right. So, but yeah,
I can see Thony's age too. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah. Rudo charges in here. It's like, why are you coming through the warp pool? I was out there getting trampled by trash beasts and I saw her manhole appear in front of the herd. So I jumped in.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And so I'm curious why this is so large on the page. This like X, two looking drawings here that he like puts on the he like ends up putting on the brush.
I don't know either.
It feels like maybe this is important because it's made such a big deal, or maybe it's just cool. I don't know, maybe it's just really cool.
I think it may be just really cool, but I wonder if we'll see it again.
Yeah, I'm not I'm kind of filing it in my brain as like, if we see this again, I'm gonna remember it.
It is the second use of the brush. Maybe it's like a countdown because it can only be used three times before they break, right?
Oh, yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah, it definitely could be that. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Yeah, that we'll see. But yeah, Rudo here is like he's like, I got them caught up in all of this. I'm the one who wanted the information. So with this next move, it's like something fast, something he's trying to think of a move to use, like something fast, something that won't kill anyone, like something that'll kick all their butts. Boom.
And then we get a Remlin cameo.
This is
Remlin the Gremlin cameos again.
Yes. This is so excellently foreshadowed from the entire like previous parts, because we have seen Rudo draw and this looks like his drawings. As he tells us, I think in the next chapter, cause this is still 99, right? This is 99. So this is kind of the end of 99. He tells us, I think early on in the next chapter, let's just go ahead and go on to it. Also, I think this is hilarious. This is like chapter 100 of the series, like usually a pretty big thing. And Kairon is just like, got you, Akito 100. Like, you expect there to be something special for the 100th chapter, and there's not, which is funny.
That's fair enough. I mean, like, I feel like every chapter is pretty special. It's all great.
Yeah, well, and the chapter 101, I think it's kind of like the color page, which is normally what you would expect for a chapter 100, is like a color page in the magazine. But yeah, everyone kind of just gets thrown out, blasted out of this kind of tunnel down here. You can see like the tunnel explodes here and their car ends up all the way over here. Like they go a long way.
It's like a big balloon that just like expands, you know, and launches them.
I like that fall here. It's like, where did the Titan come from? Why is it so blobby? He's like, I flubbed it. Like, I was trying to imagine something that wouldn't kill anyone. And then I thought about Remlin and that's what happened. It's blobby because I pictured something where the ink hadn't hardened. That's a pretty extreme figment of the imagination. This is the modern day manga equivalent of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Like, what did you think of? It's like, I thought of something that couldn't hurt anybody. Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
It is exactly like that.
So I thought that was fun and funny. I also,
we get our Mary Poppins moment.
Another Mary, but yeah, I think he's done this before, right? Once or twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, great facial expressions. He's just like, you're heavy.
I've noticed Engine is just not happy about any of this mission.
He is he's very much adult man watching children, like on,
which is usually he's a man child who is like having fun along the way, but not this time. He's like exhausted and sick of it. He does not like this info broker guy.
Yeah, he doesn't want to play his games. He's definitely not. Yeah. He wants to chill out and be a little shithead. He does not want to play games. So
yeah, he dances to his own tune normally. So it's like,
yeah, yeah.
He hates getting strung along, seemingly.
So we make it to kind of Tori, the jungle, no man's land. I think this is awesome because basically up until this, the only no man's land and kind of large trash areas we've seen have been like essentially deserts, right? Like they've just been kind of, the whole place is desolated. And I think it's cool here to see that like there is light, there is plant life, there are jungles. It's just like diverse, like, okay. And we know that there's, I think, four large no man's lands. So there's the desert one they've been to, there's Tori, and then there's two more that we haven't seen that maybe we'll see before the end of the series. So
I assume an icy one and maybe a lava one.
Yeah, that if, lava. If this was a video game, you'd be right.
This is a video game, yeah.
Yeah, who knows? But this is where stuff got tickled my fancy from last year. Like this is the most polluted no man's land on the ground. Like, how can there be so many plants growing here? They've probably adapted this environment, but it's still creepy. Did this remind you of something that we've consumed? Nausicaa is what this reminded me of.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah. This is very Nausicaa-esque, where it's all like a balance. Yeah.
Yeah. If you are curious and if you've ever read or been interested in reading it, we have a full read through and deep dive just like this one on Nausicaa, the Valley of the Wind that we did last year.
It's
you
a go 10 check out of 10. The channel. It's
that series is
spoilers. Amazing. It's a 10 out of 10.
Yeah. It is quite literally one of the greatest media things I have ever consumed. Like, it is that
it's
good.
So good.
But yeah, this reminded me of that, where it's like, and again, because I think that we're in a post-apocalyptic world, like I think that's been conveyed pretty clearly. There should be plants somewhere, and you know, plants can grow in trash heaps and stuff. So yeah, it's interesting.
One thing we skipped over is that Fu is stuck in the blob monster that Rudo made and gets left behind again. I feel bad for him because he's sad about being left behind again.
I wonder, we'll see how that works in next volume, I guess. But it'll be interesting.
Back over to the Raiders side, maybe.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Yeah.
We're also told, it's actually a little before this. We're told that there, instead of there being lots of trash beasts, there is only one known trash beast in Tori, and it's called the King of the Jungle. I don't know what I was imagining, like, oh, it's going to be a big tiger, right? Like, tiger's King of the Jungle. So but it was not. So we get here, we see Kuro kind of in front of this thing. They're all kind of very suspicious. And then Zotal,
being a little dickhead,
playing his games and being a good bad guy with his very flat face, shoots a little pebble, which lands, and whatever is behind in this big lake pond thing shows its face. It's like Zotal, like he wants to sneak around without the King of the Jungle finding him, so he's using us as decoys. And we get this cool kind of four-armed trash beast type thing here. I think that's the end. Yeah, that's the end of chapter 100. I had a lot of thoughts about what this could be that turned out kind of wrong. This is chapter 101. This is, I believe, when we got the anime adaptation announcement, or very close to it, because we have kind of Bones is down here in the corner. So
That's sick. I didn't notice that.
I think
the Illuminati eye makes an appearance on Rudo's face.
Yeah, true. We get a kind of a hot Rio over here in the corner, I guess. a glammed up, you could say. Funny, like, Remlin. I think that this is...
That's a gorilla-style Remlin and Rudo down there in the bottom left.
Yeah, yeah. You get... This is, I think, done mainly by the graffiti guy, I would assume.
Oh, yeah,
or maybe half and half, like, some by the graffiti, some by others. So, but yeah, very cool. It's one of... This is, as far as color pages go, probably one of, if not the most stylish one I've ever seen. Like, yeah, usually they do not go this sick. Hard. So it's very cool. So yeah, chapter 101. This is cool. I don't know. This is just like a great, like, hulking forearms with like a thing covering its head. I don't know. It's cool.
Yeah.
Kuro here is like, oh, I was planning on playing dead. And then he plops up and runs away, which you sent me this image to.
It's in the next panel that he looks like that.
Oh, really? I think I missed that next panel then.
Wait, pull it up. You got to pull it up. Otherwise,
Let me find it. We're in chapter 101. Loading. Because I thought that you were talking about this one. Because I was like, oh, yeah, that looks like it.
It kind of looks like it. But there's one that looks exactly like that little girl running with an ice cream.
Yeah. It is loading. It does not want to load open for me. Well, it'll come up. We'll get it.
Wait, let me just find it. Because
it's a little... here we are. I got it. It just took forever to load. That site not be reached. Okay, here we go. Here it is. Yeah. This one right here, right?
It's uncanny. It's uncanny. Yeah, it is very... It is a rut.
Yeah. It is very... Yeah.
It is so close. Uncanny that I can't help but to think it is, that's what Hirano is going for.
Yeah,
but
it might be. I mean, she's... our age, I think. Yeah. She's younger than I am, maybe even younger than you. I don't know. She's an internet, you know, raised on the internet type person. So
yeah.
So Kuro runs off. The big trash beast kind of keeps attackies. I've seen a lot of trash beasts now. Some of them are really big, but they were all shaped like beast. This is the first time I've ever seen a humanoid trash beast. I think this is a very interesting line, Gautam. How do you feel about this humanoid trash beast? What is that? What does that tickle in your mind and make you think?
They're created from vital instruments. So they're like, or the stronger ones are. So presumably it's just like connected to its maker in some way. That's what I would think.
Okay. I was, the connection I was making here was this,
like the Watchmen.
Yeah. This makes me think that the Watchmen could potentially be a giant trash beast, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Because we have never seen kind of a close-up of what he is. Just seems like a large, dark figure. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's where my mind went, was that the Watchmen and potentially all of those other kind of dark figures we saw in the paintings from the past artists in Remlin's hometown, in Canvas Town, all of those could have been giant humanoid trash beasts. They also, yeah, I mean, it's kind of more... clear, maybe I don't remember where we see it. Maybe it's later on. I think we'll see it in a little bit and we'll talk about it. But
it's like we only call them trash beasts because, like, on the ground there's a bunch of trash and they form themselves out of
it, right? Yeah,
like around the core. But yeah, like the Watchmen very well could be a humanoid trash beast with like a Watchmen series item as its core, you know?
That's, yeah, I mean, that's kind of. Yeah, I think you hit exactly what my theory would be that the Watchmen might basically be either a human infused with anima making a human shaped thing, like maybe there's a person inside it, or just, yeah, like one of the real Watchmen series making up a trash beast, which is so powerful that it makes something like the Watchmen. So the other thing is that this, we are calling this a trash beast and it does have some trash on it, but it appears to also just mostly be made of like vines and stuff. So
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
necessarily well, know if the like anima core of a trash beast is like, if it only can use trash to create itself or if it could use, you know,
I think it uses anything,
basically anything, right? Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. So a lot of interesting questions,
by the way. I have a theory, but I'll pitch it at the end because it has nothing to do with this.
So. Okay, cool. So Ryo kind of takes it upon herself. He's like, all right, I'll take this thing down. I'll take care of this creepy trash beast in 2 seconds flat. Compared to that ginormo we got trapped inside, this is teeny tiny. She does, she cuts its arm off immediately. And she like tries to attack its head and thinks that she cuts its head off. It's like, it never had a head to begin with. So... this is the panel I was talking about earlier. Three eyes here, which is basically the Watchmen pattern, which I think is also interesting. Makes me think that this I mean, I guess this is connected to what we're about to see kind of at the end of the volume. But yeah, so, but then, yeah, it uses, okay, now that I say that I thought it was made of vines, these look more like cables or cords, so maybe it is made of trash. I don't know.
I think it's just vines.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that the, like, lines on this make it seem more like it's artificial than a vine, but maybe not.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But yeah. I think it's probably just using the forest, the whole forest.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. It's like, you made me think you collapsed because I cut your head off. Zodal here saying, I haven't seen any other trash beast in this no man land. Is it because we're in the humanoid trash beast territory, or did it wipe out all the others to protect something? I think it's pretty clear it's the second one. Basically, this trash beast is here and has a very important thing with it that no one is going to get, which might potentially be its core or something. We'll see.
Or the treasure chest, right?
It's for sure this treasure chest.
I
can see that it's very easy to make you into decoys. very cool. This is, that's, I think, the end of 101. Here's 102. 102 starts with Rio just getting fucking body slammed. Absolutely wrecked.
Before this, she's like, I'm going to get thrown really hard and I don't know how to break this fall.
Yeah.
I should think about this for next time this happens. I like how she's doing real time analysis right as she's about to
Literally as the thing is like moving her into the ground. Yeah, it's very funny.
It's aspirational that she doesn't think she's going to die. And she's like, I should remember this for next time.
Yeah, it's great. I don't know what to think about these pillars because they appear to have some visual imagery on them that is kind of similar maybe to some things we've seen, but not exactly. I don't know if they're important or not. We'll have to see.
Yeah, we'll have to see because it was like in the introduction of this trash beast, it was used as like its body. It was like the arms surrounded the pillar.
I think that was, it was coming from behind the pillar. You're talking like this?
Yeah, or? But it was like, no, this one. Yeah.
It's behind the pillar here is what's happening.
I'm aware, but I'm saying that...
Oh, like visually,
Yeah, I think it is to have the audience's eyes focus on the pillars and the things on it.
Yeah.
Though I don't think it's relevant right now until we get more info.
Yeah, I think when we open the box, maybe we'll learn a little bit more. But yeah, they are able to kind of swipe in here, Rudo and Engine, and grab Rio. And
I love this panel with like the faded trash beast in the background looking like a kaiju.
Yeah, it's very cool. I can't tell who grabs her scissors.
I think that is, it's not Engine because he's not wearing gloves.
It's not Engine. It doesn't, I guess maybe it is Rudo.
I think it's Rudo or Follow because of the gloves. I'm not sure.
Okay, yeah. Maybe it's Rudo.
No, it's Rudo. It's Rudo because he's the only one with gloves. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So and Rudo. I think maybe this is him reaching down to grab it here or something, but yeah.
Yeah.
This is interesting because this might, I mean, it was mentioned, you know, earlier in this volume that if he uses a vital instrument given him from somebody else, he can draw like extra power of it. So it's possible that he might be able to use these scissors later on, would be my guess.
Yeah, true.
That he might use the scissors to defeat the trash beast. It kind of depends what's in the box next volume, I guess. But
in which case, both of our predictions would be wrong here about it being Engine's umbrella and Tomsey's rope trick. But
The ones that he gives, yeah. I mean,
that we did earlier in this chapter. If he's
but I mean, my guess was more like very end, someone's gonna die. But yeah.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, we can kind of see here that the whole area they're in is like seems very like, ceremonial, like intentional. Like there was something here, which I think. But yeah, we get. She's like Rio is like really fucked up. I'm impressed you survived that fall. It's like you broke your spine, your ribs, and some other bones too. Look at that bleeding. I bet she's damaged some internal organs. We need to get her to Aishia and fast. I forgot we're in no man's land. Yeah, but I mean, I like this because this raises the stakes again of it. The series had kind of swapped to be more people versus people for the past, you know, four volumes. We hadn't really been fighting trash beasts all that much, even though they were inside a big trash beast, they weren't really fighting it. I like that this is kind of reinforcing that, like, oh yeah, the cleaner's job is dangerous because trash beasts are actually incredibly strong most of the time. Like, they're very good at it, but this trash beast is, like, was better than Rio, so.
Yeah, better than all of them. It's just, like, a kind of an unstoppable force that they have to work around.
Yeah, I mean, Anjin is basically just like, I don't want to fight this. And he kind of does fight it later, but he can't take it down himself, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ruto here kind of is, again, Ruto is a great main character, takes it upon himself, does some protagonist shit.
And this is the parallel with Fu, where Ruto is taking full accountability for Ryo's injuries, and he's like, okay, but we have to do something anyway.
Yeah, he's like, I have to go beat up the other guy. He's like, the other guy's like, the guy that knew I would get in a car and come here with other people, who specifically made me pay for information by playing tag near No Man's Land, who used the cleaners as a decoy to distract the trash beast so he could get what he wanted, he's the one that did this to Ryo. So, when the Kuro guy was first introduced, I was like, oh, he'll be like a beneficial trickster type guy. It's like, no, I think by this time you're like, if he is communicating it so poorly that Ruto now blames him entirely for hurting his friends and putting them in danger. And Ruto is pissed about it. So,
well, I guess he still is a beneficial trickster guy. This is just one of his tricks.
I mean, the end does not justify the means, I guess, is what I would say in this.
Oh, I'm not saying he's a good guy. I'm just saying he's not a bad guy. He isn't a self-interested. Yeah,
self-interested for sure. Like, his plot was so obvious, even my tiny brain figured it out. It was great. Kuro, the information broker, I won't let him crush the cleaners for his own profit. It's great. If I'm going to move on to the next step, I have to settle this. And everyone's kind of, getting in there. And this is, man, I really like the part that's coming up here. Follow gets up, but it's like, Chris, give me your hat and goggles. I was like, Follow, you're going to stay here? He's like, I don't know if I could be of any help, but I'd like you to let me try once in a while. Okay, Ruto? He's like, I'm a supporter. I'm part of the cleaners, too. So cool, nice, Follow development. Follow hasn't done much in the past, really.
Yeah, he kind of just got saved at the beginning of the series and has just been around. So it's nice to see that Follow and Gris are getting more, screen time.
Yeah, well, and Gris has gotten a decent... I mean, Gris had the whole thing with the necklace early on and then, was a father figure... to Ruto, and has shown up a couple times since then.
Five chapters, right?
Yeah, but he shows
him here and there.
Yeah, he shows up to rescue him from the big trash beast thing at the end, but he's been more present than Follow. So I like to Follow as this character has been around since early chapters, and they're getting more now, which again, I think the series is really good about it, kind of introducing a side character and bringing them back up and bringing them into the limelight when it's the right time. So I am a supporter of this. And so we get both of them going up to Engine, walking up here. This is where we get the reveal of what Kuro, the information broker, was doing here. He's like, it had to be done. That's the role I have to play. I was like, terribly sorry I had to use his decoys, but it was necessary if I was going to know. And he lifts up the kind of cover that is on this trash beast and takes out a tiny treasure chest, I guess I would say. Also, it's interesting here. He says, it was necessary if I was going to know. So there's some kind of, he's looking for information here, which I think is good. I don't think he necessarily wants what's inside the treasure chest, but there's some kind of information.
He wants to know what's inside. Yeah.
Maybe just knowing what's inside. Yeah.
Maybe he can't open it because of his fucked up hands. Has he thought about that?
Quite potentially. perhaps you're only here to pop me when Ruto's like, but thing is I'm safe until Ruto captures me. Did we miss? No. Okay.
Yeah. So basically, Ruto and Follow show up.
This is I like how obvious the information broker makes it. This little twist that's here. But it still works really well. It's still a cool little oh cool, they mixed it up.
It's a classic switcheroo.
It's very classic. But it's funny that Kuro plays right into it, where he's just like, oh, Ruto has to catch me. I'll run towards Follow, and then it's just like, can't you stop my meatball of a body from barreling over you? And
the
they
dude
just
must be fast.
I think he's one of these physically fit, large, fat guys. That is kind of what he seems like to me. But Follow's plan was perfect. You totally fell for it. And we get the reveal here. Those are obviously Ruto's eyes. I am Ruto. And don't you dare think we're going to let you leave just because the game is over. I thought this was a cool little twist here at the end of that, volume. Classic costume swap. So cool. Yeah. Last chapter of the volume here, chapter 103. Gris here is taking Ryo out of the forest. He mentions we should have brought Aisha with us, and he makes a call here, this is cool. I was smiling, talking about it. It's like, this is Gris Rubion, supporter from Cleaners HQ. I'm in Tori with one injured. And he's like, I need help. I would like to request assistance from the Cleaners South Branch.
So seemingly we're going to get some new characters.
Yeah, which
because their main branch is like 3 days out.
Well, and I think that is the Cleaner HQ that we know, is that Central or are they like North Branch? I don't remember if they ever said.
Not sure, but I presumably Central because the boss is there.
Yeah, I guess if we assume Mark Corvus is the main boss of all of them, then yeah, maybe the branch is like just like a smaller outfit. But yeah, we get here. You got me. This is where lots of interesting stuff happens in this last chapter. He's like, where are your Watchman gloves? He's like, I should have known if I take off my 3R for even a second, the pain in my hands. It's like, and we get kind of a flashback of what Zoda was telling about the Watchman series. If the one possesses an object is fulfilled, if they have everything they need as a human being, thoughts that generate anima powerful enough to drive a person insane. And we see, since Follow is wearing these gloves, he is like literally being driven insane by the gloves for wearing them for like 5 minutes. Right. It's like my mind is like, there's something eating away at it.
And it's cool that it's like the gloves like stretching out and like
grabbing his face and like, yeah, it's weird. And then we get, luckily we get Rudo in here to kind of rescue him by pulling his gloves off. I mean, Follow is like absolutely about to be like mind broken here. Like,
yeah, absolutely going nuts.
Yeah, I mean, but Rudo also is like, he's also clearly in lots of pain.
It's kind of funny because he always looks like that, but you can still tell.
Yeah, but I mean, the sort of look of kind of relaxation here is a lot better. He's like, Rudo, how can you keep those things on all the time? This is again Zodal's voice is like, you and I can use Watchmen series without irregularities. So just interesting reinforcement of, if you're a normal person and you equip the gloves, they drive you insane. But if you have some kind of hole in you, then the gloves complete you. It's a nice thing to build on. I don't know what this is fully about just yet, but
yeah, I think it's just like confirming Zodal's theory.
Yeah.
Or not theory, but like what he said.
Yeah, what he said
about the Watchmen series. Yeah.
But yeah, so we get the big trash beast here still attacking them. Follow kind of looks like he got hit. We see a bag. This is actually Engine's bag, which I'm trying to see if we can see anything in here that's like suspicious. I don't know. It's hard to tell.
It's like a tailpipe and like random objects in there.
He has like maybe like another one of his masks, and then I don't know. It's really hard to tell. He's like, I'm okay. He's like, got out of the way just in time. I read some Reddit comments on this chapter and people were like, I feel like there's a lot of this and we haven't seen it happen yet. So we'll get it eventually, but I don't know if it's here. Everyone's like, Follow his final instrument will be his shoes because he dodged really fast once. And I was like, come on guys. Like I probably not.
This is how it's best to ignore those. It's like every One Piece thread where a character is introduced and they're like, next member of the Straw Hat crew right there.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
And the couple of times that I've checked, like almost every time I've checked a Reddit thread, they're like, what if the car, like I mentioned, I think last one, I was like, what if the car becomes Chris's vital instrument? Like what if this person doesn't have powers, gets power from this thing? I do think at some point we will probably get someone like first awakening a vital instrument. Maybe it's Follow. I don't know. It doesn't feel like anyone is on that path directly yet, just yet. So
yeah, I think until we see Follow like on screen treasure an object.
Yeah, for sure.
We're not gonna get an asshole like that at a gotchi.
Yeah, for sure. Engine is up here on top of the beast. He's like, figured something out. The body's all decoration. It's not one body with a core like the one the Raiders had. This one has a main body somewhere else. Normally, if you cut off part of a trash beast with a vital instrument, it won't grow back. This one's just taking the pieces we cut off and sticking them back on. Let me put it in simple terms. All this stuff is basically like hair. I don't think hair is the right thing because you cannot stick hair back on. It's like, I think that's a good analogy. It's like, I'm guessing its main body is in the pond. So if we want to take it out, we got to go into the pond. And this is where we get Kuro here. That's basically just like, here's how you're going to take it down. You're going to use this box. Or I guess Rudo notes that he's like, I don't have any of the trash that I brought with me to use. So he doesn't really have a weapon to help fight here. He's like, that's the thing you snuck away from inside the trash beast. Like, this is what I wanted all along. It's quite the antique. I expended long days of my life to pay for the object inside. That's a weird way to phrase that, I will say.
I think he's just being a drama queen.
Yeah, he's just saying I spent a lot of time looking for it.
Yeah, and it's like also like a time is information, time is money kind of a thing.
Yeah. Also, is he just a weirdo? Because here his fingers are in the gloves and he's trying to open it and it looks normal. Like I think
he's just weird.
I think he's just a weirdo. Yeah, I think he's just a weirdo who like doesn't put his fingers in the gloves. He's like, nothing I do will get it open. It's broken. What am I to do? How do you open a box that's too broken open? Of course, I get it now. That's why you needed me. In exchange for playing along with your little scheme, you'll give me another piece of information. I like Rudo is just like, okay, like I caught you. You owe me one piece of information. If I'm going to do what you want to do, you're gonna give me what I want. So
perfect time to bargain, right?
Exactly. Yeah,
this seems like a Watchmen series item, as we see down here.
Yeah, or something tangent, like maybe not directly a Watchmen series item, but something maybe like just a piece of it or something like that. I don't know.
Or maybe the box can't be opened without the Watchmen series in some way. Or
yeah, could definitely be something like that. And is that the last? Yeah, that's the last page. The contents of the box might tell like. Once it's over, I'll give you one more piece of information. Of course, the contents of that box might tell him before I do. So there is some kind of information to be learned from the contents of this box about, my guess is, the Watchmen series. I mean, obviously with the sort of scratched in symbol here on the bottom. But yeah, I mean, that.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know.
Again, this is another volume ends where I am like, I just want to keep reading. Like, this is. I mean, it's a good time to read because it makes you want to keep reading, but it's a bad time in that I want to keep reading. Why'd you in there?
Yeah.
But cool. Yeah. So anything else? You mentioned you had a couple of things that you were thinking about.
That was a fun game of tag. I guess the one theory that I think we didn't consider because we were both kind of sure that, and I just thought about this, is we're both kind of sure that the angel was Rudo's dad.
Yeah.
But what if the Watchman is Rudo's dad, and that's why he could pass through.
Yeah, I mean, all valid theories, I think.
I think that one kind of makes even more sense to me, in that why is he, like, the owner of the Watchman series? He, like, all of the Watchman items are spread apart and, like, everywhere. And Rudo was able to pass through the gate with only one item.
Yeah.
I think a familial connection there makes sense.
For sure. If you're like being blood related to the Watchmen would mean that it might not even be the gloves, right? It might just be like you're blood related to the Watchmen. You can pass through however you want.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I like that also because I do think the one kind of weird, suspicious thing about thinking that the angel might be Rudo's dad is that that's the guy who went and killed
Regto.
Regto. Yeah. Yeah. In chapter one. And like, everything we've seen, Regto was not a bad guy or doing anything bad. They seem to be a good adoptive dad to Rudo, and that seems like an evil thing to do. And also, he just stood there while Rudo was thrown off the sphere. So that strikes me as you would. I don't know. I mean, it still could be his dad.
Well,
but his dad's
I was
evil,
presuming
but,
that. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That was just an evil guy. But I think that's like less likely after we see that he was friends with the previous artist or like one of the older artists that Remlin.
Yeah, like, yeah. Or that at least that
inherited.
If not dad, then someone far back in his line was friends with the old artist I think that holds a lot of weight. It also could be why those artist things we noted in the last volume, like the big black figures they drew were like different. I don't know how many of those there were. We see three of them total and then Remlin's, which is a fourth. It could very well be that each of those darkness things is like one of the four people who followed the original artist around. Which would mean that
like
the current one,
a line of Watchmen.
Yeah. Right. Which would mean that the current one would be the Watchmen and the other three were the past, like whatever the other three symbols are. Right. They would be that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, and that kind of makes sense to me too. So yeah, good theory. I'm interested to see. I'm really interested for the angel to come back. That's maybe my favorite mystery we know the least about right now. So
yeah, definitely the angel is some, we don't understand his intentions or why he does the things he does. But he is intentionally spreading the Watchmen series out, that we know.
That's true. He was giving those out. So yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It's a weird, yeah, It's confusing, but it makes me ask questions, which I think is good. Cool. I mean, anything else? Anything else we skipped over? You wanted to bring up, talk about?
No, I don't think this was like one of those chapters where we got like a ton of lore insight.
yeah, world building. Just inside. A little bit, it but was, not too much.
Yeah, it was more of like a really fun game of tag, Redline-esque battle chase, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That was a great time. I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, it was a really fun one. I kind of like I said at the top of the episode, like it definitely was just more kind of an action focused thing. I still find myself being pulled through the volume by the little mysteries and the world building stuff, right? Like,
oh, for sure. That's the best part of it.
Yeah, like
Zodal, you know, the action is awesome.
Yeah, Zodal theorizing about what Kuro wants, and then I mean, like, just even just Gris dropping the like calling the southern branch of the cleaners, I was like, that made me smile and get hyped up. I'm like, hell yes, that's awesome. And then all this stuff at the end also is just great. The theories about like, what is this trash beef protecting? Why is it here? What's in the box? Yeah, it's cool that even in an action focused volume, I'm still being pulled through by the mysteries in the world. I think it's just like, yeah, like some of the best world building in manga right now. Like honestly, after reading 100 chapters of it, this might be second behind One Piece for me. I really like this world.
It's really good.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Really cool. Cool. Well, nothing else, I guess.
Yep, that's about it.
Awesome. Hey, thanks again, everyone, for listening or watching. Please stick around for continued discussions. We'll be doing those as the volumes come out. Be sure to check out Patreon if you want to support what we do. Maybe get some more book clubs throughout the year. Check out Twitter, of course, to see more thoughts and posts. And remember, if you are a weekly manga reader of stuff like Weekly Shonen Jump or Weekly Shonen Magazine, which publishes Gachiakuta, go check out the Weekly Manga Podcast on this channel. I think that is it for this episode of the Gachiakuta Book Club read-through, so adios.
Goodbye.
And don't forget to read more manga.